Well, greetings, all of our family and friends. I want to welcome you to our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. We are excited to be here today. So good to see you, Juan Leon. God bless you. Welcome to the podcast. Melissa, thank you for being with us. The Lord bless you. Denise, Carol, thank you for joining us. I thank you for that, Juan. Thank you for sharing and tagging. We're going to prepare in just a minute to get to the word of the Lord, but we're excited about this season and this time. We believe the Lord is moving and there's mighty things that he has done and yet about to do. So thank you for joining us. I bid you grace and peace in the name of the Lord. Glad to be able to be back in the studio and share the word of the Lord. Sister Rose Bonet, to you and your husband, the Lord bless you. Bless you, Marissa Gomez. Bless you, daughter. The Lord bless you. Sister Julie, thank you for being with us. God bless you, Juanita Thomas. Thank you for being with us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for sharing where you're watching from. If you can do that, we want to make sure we keep your region, your city, if it's in California, if it's in different places of the nations of the world, we love to keep that in prayer. Bless you, Brother Ray. Thank you for joining. We're going to get right to the word of God in just a few moments. We believe God is going to speak today in a mighty, mighty way. We're excited. This week is Raising the Altar Week. Bless you, Sister Mary. So good to see you, Grace. Thank you from Louisiana. Brother Chris, thank you for joining us. The Lord bless you. Melissa, again, Riverside, thank you for being with us. This is Raising the Altar Week. This is one of our semi-annual. We do more than two a year, but we've set June aside and December for our semi-annual, our twice a year gatherings. And we're going to see the hand of God as never before this RT. So we're going to be talking this week about the raising of the altar, the fire of God, and what is happening in the nations of the world, especially in the kingdom of God. I'm going to reiterate, I was praying. So good to see you, Sister Michelle, all the way coming in from St. Augustine, Florida, to you, Pastor Juan. We love you both very much. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being with us. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to be sure to share the podcast, like the podcast, let somebody know we're on. Do that work of the evangelist, and we believe God is going to add increase to the word of God going forward and people being healed and people being delivered. So I'm going to ask you to share, hit that share button, hit that like button. So the offering of sharing the word of God, it's imperative that we have a word in due season. The scripture tells us in the last day there would be a famine, not of bread nor water, but of the hearing of the word. Not that Bible wouldn't be preached, but a heard word, a revelatory word, an in-season word. And I'm going to encourage you, God wants to bring that from this platform. And there are others that God is using, make no mistake about it. But this is one of the places I believe that you're going to be fed and get a word of direction and a word of confirmation. Bless you, Sister Lisa. I've got a word today, and I look forward to sharing what God is about to say with you. I'm going to ask you one more time to share, to like the podcast. Make sure you're doing the work of the evangelist, watching from Facebook. I see all of our Facebookers online. I'm also praying our YouTube, that you would come forward and that God would increase the measure of the word of God. So let's start with a brief word of prayer, and then we're going to get right to the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray now that men and women would be strengthened, that the grace and the anointing of your spirit would fall on each and every individual, that you would cover and keep us and steward and watch over our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. Open up eyes of our spirit, ears, eyes to see, hearts to discern, ears to hear what thus says the Lord, deep calling to deep, iron sharpening iron. Now every distraction, every hindrance, every obstacle, we pray would be broken by the power of the word of God, and that God would get glory through this time together. Speak to your people that which is good, that which is living, and we'll be sure to give you all of the praise, all of the glory in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, somebody say amen and amen. Bless you, Sister Nikki, coming over from YouTube. I see that there. God bless you. Thank you for chiming in, Sister Violet. Thank you for letting us know you're watching. The Lord bless you, Sister Eunice. Good to see you, woman of God. Thank you for being with us. If you can, one more time before we get into the word of the Lord, take a moment and hit the share button, hit the tag button, let somebody know on. We're going to believe that God is adding increase to the word of the Lord. Amen and amen. Well, this week is Raising the Altar Week, but our key verse, as always, is out of Romans chapter 8, verse 21. Bless you, Kingdom Living. So good to see you. Welcome, Marco Valencia. Good to see you, man of God. Thank you for being here. Pastor Sharon, so good to see you, woman of God. We're going to go to our key verse. The Bible says, now, you are watching this happen in front of your eyes. The Bible says, I'm not going to comment too much on any individual, but you are watching the cover, the veil, the things done in the darkness coming to the light. Now, this is a season of reckoning. You can put that in the comment. This is a season of reckoning, to reckon, where God is taking an account. And what's done in the dark is manifesting in the light. And that's good for some that have sown in tears and sown righteousness. Let me encourage you, what you've done in secret, God is going to reward you openly. Bless you, Sister Teresa. God bless you, Sister Teresa. I wanted to send a shout out to you as well. God bless you, Brother Ray. Again, thank you for being with us. But let me encourage you, what we've done in the dark is coming to the light. Matthew chapter 6 says, what you've sown in secret, God, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. So let me encourage you that there is public manifestation coming for private acts of obedience. What you've done, what you've sown, what you've given. The Bible says, let's read Romans 8:21, because the creature itself, or everything in creation, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now, I don't know how long we've been saying this and driving in. The Lord told me, son, you've been speaking about a shaking. And I didn't know the shaking would start in the house of God. And every week you're hearing about another pastor, and we're praying for everybody, another leader, another bishop, another man of God who we pray for, and we will not judge. God is their judge. But exposure comes publicly after things have not been done privately. God doesn't just expose sin at the first or the second time. Let me just make that clear. God gives you seasons, sometimes years and decades, to repent of things. You don't judge people. We don't know all the totality of what took place in these situations, but we do know God is bringing down some and raising up others. But we do know that creation has a being that is going to be delivered from corruption and bondage. Remember, what is corruption? Perverted power, corrupted leadership. That which is not healthy in leadership, God is starting at the house of God. And you are watching week after week. You are watching, blessing DJB, thank you for joining. You are watching month after month, actually sometimes a day, and I think last week it was every day, every other day, another news article, another post came out of another pastor, another apostle, another leader, somebody else being exposed. Now, these things were done many years ago, things that were sown in the dark. But let me encourage you, we don't rejoice at calamity. We don't rejoice when people get hurt. We don't rejoice when judgment comes. But make no mistake about it, judgment begins at the house of God. And God is going to clean up this mess. I can't clean it up. I can't bring order to what's out of order, but God can do these things. Bless you, Joemma. It says creation is going to be delivered, will be set free from the bondage of corrupted leadership. It'll be delivered from the bondage of corruption. What corruption, again, is perverted power, corrupted leadership, tainted authority, and it starts in God's house. That's what corruption. Now, God says, I'm going to deliver them, and I'm going to cause some to come low, and I'm going to cause others to come high. We're going to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I quoted it last week, and it's been sitting on me. This is Raising the Altar Weekend, and I want to encourage you. The fire of God does multiple things. Bless you, Daniel. So good to see you. Chant, China, and George, the Lord bless you. Let me encourage you. One thing fire does is it illuminates. It means it gives light. When fire comes, what was in the dark shadows comes to the light. God is bringing fire in the earth. Revival, miracles, supernatural outbreak. Bless you, Sister Spring. The Lord bless you, woman of God, and the calling on your life for the firstborns. Briefly, I was watching Sister Spring just a few weeks ago, and there's a powerful ministry to the firstborns. I want to recommend that. God has something mightily for the firstborn. So God bless you, Sister Spring. The Lord bless you and your ministry and all that you're doing. We're looking forward to bringing you to This Rock soon. We're working on that. Bless you, Sister Brandy. So good to see you, Sister Mary. Sister Anna, thank you. The Bible is clear that there is going to be a changing of the guards, that Saul is being demoted and David is being promoted. So when fire comes, number one, it brings illumination. Number two, it brings purification. It cleanses. Number three, it changes the climate from cold to hot. It brings warmth. It's saturation to an environment. So here is what John the Baptizer. Now, John the Baptizer was a radical. He was one who lived in the desert. Bless you, Brother Z. He was one who was clothed with camel skin, and he ate wild locusts. He didn't step foot in any buildings, and I believe in the church. Let me make it clear, but he was a wilderness preacher. He was a prophet, and his job was to declare, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But John said, I'm going to baptize with water. John's baptism was about repentance, the changing of the mind of a generation, so that when God came with power and with fire, he could redeem and not lose all. So before there is fire, there will be water. I'm going to say that in the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, there was fire before water. Elijah, 1 Kings 18, speaks about the fire of God falling, and then after the fire fell and purified and fell and cleansed, then the water came just a short time later. God sent fire, then he sent water. But in the New Testament, he's sending water, then he's sending fire. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance. I want to tell you, it's time to rethink. Bless you, Sister Brandy. I want to tell you, it's time to get our minds right. What God is about to do, we've never seen the miracles. We've never seen the healings. We've never seen the glory encounters. We've never seen the outpouring of God's fire. We've never seen what God is about to do. We've never imagined what God is about to manifest. But let me tell you, it's a moment where the fire of God comes and exposes what was done in darkness, your seeds of love, your prayers, your intercession, your sacrifice. I want to tell you, you've been sowing and you've been doing the right thing, and the wicked have been prospering. But let me tell you, God is going to lift your head in front of your enemy. I can feel the anointing on this word. This is a seasonal word. You are watching the baptism of water because God wants to change our minds. He wants to renew our thinking. He's taking them out of the Old Testament form and bringing them into a new covenant based on better promises. He's doing away with one form of worship or liturgical intercession. He's moving out from this, and he's inviting into something new, something better, something powerful. He's inviting you and I into mighty encounters with the glory. And therefore, he sends John the Baptizer to baptize so the mind is ready for the new thing. I want you to encourage yourself. God, I release an anointing. Lay your hand on your mind. God, baptize my mind with water so I can rethink again. I can think differently. I don't want to be stuck. You see, those who missed the new thing were those who were stuck in the old thing. And when God starts a new thing, the people that were in the old thing say the old is better. The old wine is better. The old way is better. How dad did it is better. How grandpapa did is better. But I want to encourage you, God is coming to visit. He's coming to dwell, and we must discern the hour of our visitation. We must recognize that he's coming with fire and with power to make all things new, and we must not resist him. I said we must not resist him. Bless you, Sister Kathy. The Lord bless you. So good to see you. We must not resist this move. I indeed baptize with water, but he that comes after me, the Bible says, is mightier. I want to tell you, the God of might is about to show up in our generation. Not the God of words, not the God of debates, not the God of communication, for the kingdom of heaven is not in word, but in demonstration and in power. I said the demonstration, so that we see who is really God and who has all of the power. The God of might is about to manifest in our generation. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. I couldn't walk a moment in those shoes. Whose steps I couldn't endure. And see, what made Jesus who he was and who he is, he could endure what other people couldn't endure. Your endurance is the key to your authority. What can you endure? What can you go through, man of God? What can you go through in your own family and keep praising God? What can you endure with your children suffering and you still say God is good? What can you face sometimes when you don't see things happening around you and you're in the wilderness and God is telling you, endure, for the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to the man or woman that endures to the end. You're not running a sprint, you're running a marathon. You're running a cross-country leg. He said, he's mightier than I, and I'm not worthy to bear those shoes. Bless you, Pastora. So good to see you. Pastora Lorraine, welcome to the podcast from Fresno. Mighty weekend we had in Fresno. The power of God moved in a great way. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I said the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Bible speaks of something called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but this is likened unto fire, that God is gonna endow us, submerge up. The word baptize means, the word baptizo, it means to submerge or to envelop. Again, I was watching a wonderful teaching from a man of God, a general in the faith, Dr. Cirillo, and he talked about what baptism is. He says it was a cup. You feel the cup. If you felt the cup, that's one thing. But if you put the cup in a pitcher, you submerged it. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want you to be filled. He wants you to be submerged. He wants you to be enveloped. He wants you to be submerged in a baptism of fire. What does that mean to be baptized? Number one, it is illumination. God wants you to see. Number two, it's purification. God purify us so that you get the glory out of what? That we have clean hands and a pure heart. That we don't lift our soul to vanity. We don't swear deceitfully. That we walk with integrity. We keep our word. You know, we're committed to our family. We do the best. None of us are perfect, but we live with a fear of God. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let me encourage you. Let me push you. Number three, after you are illuminated, after you see illuminated, you're going to see what you could not see. You're going to hear what you could not hear. You're going to understand. See, the problems you're going through, God is about to show you what you've never seen before. He's about to reveal answers and solutions and keys to the battle you've been going. I see answers for children. I heard it. And that's why it's imperative. Bless you, Faltain. So good to see you. Thank you for joining us. God said, I'm going to show you answers to deal with your family. Marital solutions, childhood solutions. I decree the enemy is coming in one way, but he's going to flee seven ways. Meaning God is going to show you the answer before the enemy shows up. You're not going to respond to devils. Devils are going to respond to you. You're not going to just react to what the devil's doing. The devils are going to respond to you. Bless you, Bianca. So good to see you. Thank you for joining us. God wants you to realize you are a solution. Number one, illumination. You're going to see what you could not see. You're going to understand what you didn't understand. You're going to have answers to problems that made you scratch your head and be frustrated in the previous season. But I decree God is sending you answers that even before you ask, God will answer. That God is showing you great and mighty things that you never knew. Solutions and revelations and wisdom and power and victories coming to your life. Bless you, Lydia. So good to see you. Thank you. Barbara, thank you for joining us. Answers. You're going to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. I said you're going to know what to do, number two. You're going to know how to do it, number three. You're going to know when to do it. I heard a general say timing is one of the keys to the kingdom, knowing the timing of God. The right thing in a wrong time can be disastrous. The right thing in a wrong time can be a curse. Leaving before your time, moving before your time. The hardest thing is to know what time it is. What is the season and the time? A baby is a beautiful thing for a married couple. It's something to celebrate, but a child to a born to a 15-year-old little girl. Now we pray over that, says God will redeem that. But that's not always good news because it's a beautiful thing outside of time. You listening to me. God said, I'm going to give you solutions. I'm going to give you answers to what you've been trying to fix for your children. Number one, for your home and for your family. I need you to say amen if that's for you. For your marital situation. How to deal with that loved one you love dearly, you love greatly, but you know they need a breakthrough. I'm just going to say amen for all of the marriages and the listening to me. You know there's an answer needed and you didn't know how to help your husband. You didn't know how to help your spouse. God is going to send you an answer. Number two, for your children. For your, some of them are grown. Some of them are 20, 30, 40. And inside there's a problem with them and you don't know how to fix the issue of brokenness and fatherlessness and abandonment. But God said, I'm going to open up the spirit. I'm going to show you how to turn the heart of a father and a mother back to the child and the heart of a child back to the mother. And God is going to redeem that brokenness and rejection in them. And those that ran from God are about to run from God. Those that were abused mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and those that were under oppression, now they're going to become mighty and they will oppress the oppressor. They will destroy the destroyer. They not only will be saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled, but your children will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will run from the Lord. For those that have been forgiven much are going to love much. They've been through all of that they've been through, but God is about to break in and break out, and God is going to use them in the name of Jesus. Illumination, solution for you, for your family, but also for the business. I said the kingdom business. You say, what do you mean business? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I decree you've been doing some kingdom business. You've been working on some things. You've been trying to put things together and you've been trying to fulfill the assignment of God. Some of it is ministerial. Some of it is entrepreneurial. Some of it deals with these areas of your life and it felt like you couldn't get the answer. You were hitting a wall. You were trying to go forward. But hear me, by the Spirit of God, He's about to anoint you for solution to kingdom business. You're about to do what you could not do. Your hand is going to prosper. Your children are going to prosper. Your marriage is going to prosper. But your business is going to prosper. The kingdom business, souls being saved. That's the business of God, to save the soul, to redeem the mind. It's not just about money. It's about kingdom transactions. It's about exchanging burden for freedom. It's about exchanging oppression for liberty. It's about exchanging a sickness for wellness. God says, I'm going to anoint you in the Holy Ghost to do kingdom business. Illumination, business. I see it by the Holy Ghost. Number two, you're going to see purification. Illumination, He said, I'm going to baptize with fire. You're not going to get a touch of God. You're going to get sat on by the Holy Ghost. This thing's going to sit on you. Purification number two, what's got to come out of us is coming out of us. I said, what's got to come out of us is coming out of us. What's got to come out of the people you love, it's coming out of purification. You see, if you put something in the fire long enough and you stoke the fire hot enough, it'll consume anything that's not fire. If you can get that fire, there are levels of fire. If you didn't know, there are degrees of fire. And every time you increase the fire, it changes colors. If you didn't know that, you can study that. This is what made Nebuchadnezzar a great king. He understood the power of altars. See, if you have an altar that is higher than the altar of the nation, you can take that nation. And this is why Daniel was in a nation where this Babylon was taking city after city and nation after nation and territory, because he knew the power of an altar. This is why he was quick to build up a statue. He was a worshiper. He worshiped the wrong thing, but he was a worshiper. And this is why when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego refused to bow to the altar or the image of his God, he got angry and lit his altar seven times hotter. He knew the power of altars. He knew the power of raising up altars. So he lit his altar seven times hotter, for there are at least seven layers of heat. And when he got to this certain degree and temperature, the Bible says that the mighty men grabbed Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and the strong men were burned. It gives this lettering or verbiage. It says the strong men were burned, and the Bible says that these strong men were consumed. I want to tell you that God is about to consume the strong men with their own fires. God is about to bind the strong men, and God is going to release the grace of His Spirit. Go over to Daniel. We're going to go there very quickly. Daniel chapter number 3. Got to go to verse 19. Here's what Daniel, actually go, if you would, to 18. Daniel 3, verse 18, but if not, 17. 16, I keep reading. Daniel 3, 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What did the king just say? You're going to bow to this god, this idol, or we're going to put you in the fire. He said, I'm going to give you one more chance to recant. Let me tell you, there are some men and women that will not bow to Nebuchadnezzar or their statue or their image or their antichrist. No matter how hot the fire is, there are those who will not bow their knee to tyranny. They will not bow their knee to compromise. You cannot buy them. You cannot bribe them. And you cannot threaten them. See, this is the only power of the spirit in the book of Revelation. The Bible calls it a harlot. It's not a woman, but it's a spirit of seduction. It's a spirit. And the Bible says the kings of the earth are drunken with the wine of her fornication, and they've eaten from the table of her delicacies. So she will bribe you or she will threaten you. But you cannot kill a dead man. You cannot threaten somebody who's already dead. And when these come into the earth, the Bible says they overcome them, him, her, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, because they love not their lives unto death. When you don't fear death, you will not die. When you're afraid of death, you're dead already. And so these three looked at the face of the king, looked at the fire, and said, oh Lord, let's read this, verse number 16. He said, King, we're not careful to answer you. We're people of authority. We're people of submission, but we're not careful to answer you in this thing. I'm not gonna pray about this. I know what the word, I'm not bowing my knee. I'm not compromising. I'm not being paid for. I'm not taking what the enemy is offering. If it so be, verse 17, if it so be our God who we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But even if he doesn't deliver us, know this, King, we shall not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden statue. Hear this here. Hear this in the Holy Ghost. This is the kind of faith we need, not this limp-wristed, we need the kind of faith that says, my God can deliver me, but even if he doesn't deliver me, I'm not bowing to this statue. My God can get me out of this cave. My God can deliver me from the mouth of the lion, but even if he doesn't deliver me, I'm not going to bow to your statue. I'm not taking your mark. I'm not compromising what God told me to do. We need this kind of tenacity. This is, imagine God looking down at the response of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Imagine Jehovah God with all of his angels watching the three men. Imagine him watching all of his glory behind him and waiting to see what they would say. And when they said this thing, angels started moving. When they said this thing, hell started backing up. When they said this thing, instantly angels started surrounding them. Instantly the fire of God started getting hotter. Imagine the power of God, the boldness and the confidence when God looked at his sons and said, look, those are my boys. Those are my children. He can deliver me. But know this, we're not bowing to your gods. We're not bowing. Look at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar liked them. They had great favor. They were rulers. But now the Bible says the form of his visage changed. The word visage is not just countenance. It's now his face changed, and the demon behind the man showed up. There's a demon or a spirit of God behind every man or woman. That's how it works. There is no middle ground. You're either for God or you're against. I'm neutral. No, sir. No, ma'am. You're either full of God or you're full of something else. And every man or woman that's in authority is either full of the Holy Ghost or another ghost, another spirit. And there was a demon behind the man. There was a spirit behind the man. There was a principality. And when the anger of Nebuchadnezzar, his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they commanded to heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Now, let me encourage you. This was a man who understood the power of an altar. He understood the power of heaven's technology. Heaven's technology is not earthly fire, but heavenly fire. I want you to think back what the world was like before men. God gave the gift of fire to man. Fire had always existed. They were in what were called the Dark Ages. We don't know when that was, but God gave fire. The Bible says the first appearance of fire is in Genesis chapter 3, that there appeared an angel The Bible says, with a sword, keeping the eastern entrance of the garden of abundance, to keep the way open, not out, to keep it open, of the tree of life, that when you eat this, you live forever. You hearing me? So the gift of fire came from God. And fire brought illumination, it brought warmth. It is technology. Now, we've harnessed fire and we've harnessed energy to create the world we see. But there's a higher fire than that of man. What are you talking about, Apostle? The Bible calls it holy fire. Acts chapter 2, hold your finger there. And verse number 1 through 3, they're going to put it up. See, fire is God's technology, heavenly fire. Heavenly fire is greater than electricity, though it involves, because God is electricity. It's all around us, and we channel that electric force. You ever were a child, and you ever played the shock game with your brothers and sister, and you rub your feet on the carpet, and you would zap them, and you were because you were channeling electricity around you, and you were zapping them. Well, God is light, and he is electricity. He is fire. When the day of Pentecost fully came, 50 Jubilee, they were with one accord in one place, one mind, one passion, one identity. Keep reading. Verse number 2 says, and then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It was not wind, it was sound. There is sound that comes from heaven that will initiate the move. But remember, they were in Acts 2 verse 1 praying, crying. So there is a response from heaven when we cry out. Now, God sends a response from heaven like wind. It wasn't wind. It filled the place where they were seated. You must sit in heavenly places. Keep reading. Verse number 3 says, then there appeared. So the sound released a revelation. They heard it, then they saw it. There was a sound of wind that opened up a revelation. And after there was a revelation, there appeared cloven. The word close is separate. It's not cleave is together, clove is separate. When you cleave to your wife or husband, you come together. For this purpose, a man will leave his father and mother and be cleaved. Clove is separate. There appeared separate, distinct. The word tongue is the word dialect or language. There was a separate language like fire. Now, I said, God, what is the language of fire? The language of fire is the ability to communicate in the spirit and have angels of fire obey you, have chariots of fire respond to you, have fire come in the spirit and change the nation. Fire is God's technology, heavenly fire. See, heaven is full of the glory of God, and there is no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no death. Heaven is full of the glory. God says the earth will be filled with the glory. So we've got to initiate God sending fire from heaven. 1 Kings 18, this is what we're talking about. Keep your finger there. It was cloven tongues of fire, then it sat upon them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with new tongues. So fire is heaven's technology. I'll repeat it again. Fire, heavenly fire, is heaven's. Now, what is technology? Systematic solutions. What does that mean? You discover solutions, systems, you build these systems based on truths, and now our world is changing. Now, I'm in a studio, you're watching me on a device. You're watching me either on a computer screen or most likely a phone. That phone is powered by electricity. You had to plug in that phone to a wall outlet and you withdrew electricity from the wall outlet. Now that electricity came two ways. Either a power plant generated it and sent it through lines, or it was solar power. Either way, they harnessed the electricity in the universe, which God is, and they put it through the lines, and now it powered your technology. Now there's a higher revelation than Edison. There's a higher revelation than Benjamin Franklin discovering electricity by flying a kite. There's a glory that powers a system that's greater than natural electricity, and that's called holy fire. And when God sends holy fire, he is loosing a technology for transportation, for provision, for protection, and a kingdom advancement. I know that's a whole lot. Some of you got to go back and listen to that. Go back to verse number 19. Of Daniel 3, the reason Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon could almost rule the world, he understood the power of an altar. So he had his altar ready there. It doesn't say, he had an altar ready. And he said, oh, y'all want to fight? Let me get my God against your God. And Nebuchadnezzar had never ran into a greater God than his God until he ran into Jehovah. Are you hearing me? There's no God like Jehovah, not Buddha, not Muhammad. There's no name above that name. There's no authority greater than that God of heaven. Now he lights his fire seven times. Now, every time you increase fire, it changes in temperature, but also color, reflection. There's white fire, there's blue fire, there's red fire, there's yellow. They went to one of the highest levels of fire. Don't know how they did it, but he understood the key. Imagine these people knew how to light fires and create altars. So he said, let me call my deity, my demon, my little g God, and I'm going to fight your God. But here is the beauty. Verse 20, the Bible says, this is good. The Bible says, verse 20, and he commanded the mighty men that were in the army of to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fire. But verse 21 says, now the mighty men or the strong men, these men were bound with their coats and their hosen and their hats and their garments and were cast into the midst of the fire. So these mighty men throw them into the fire. Keep reading verse 22. The Bible says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace was exceedingly hot, and the flame of the fire killed those men who threw Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fire. So this lets us know the fire got so hot that the mighty men that threw them in, the greatest men of the whole army. But I want to tell you, see, when this fire gets hot, it slays every mighty man, every strong man. I want to prophesy in the name of Jesus. There are some strongholds that are about to come down over San Diego. There are some strongholds about to come down over Riverside. There are some strong men that are about to be bound up in the fire of God. And LA is going to be changed. California is going to be changed. God is going to teach us how to work this thing correctly. And when we light this fire, when we do this, God says, I'm going to cause the strong men to be bound and to be consumed, and we will plunder the good of the enemy. The Bible says, verse 23, I'm just about done. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, verse 24, was astonished. Astonied there means astonished. He was amazed. He was bewildered. He was dumbfounded. He couldn't comprehend what his eyes were seeing. He saw them in the fire. When he saw the fire burning the way it was burning, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, the Bible says, now again, this word Nebuchadnezzar means Nebo is protecting the crown. Nebo. Now again, it is a demon. It is a spirit that is protecting the crown. It is a spirit that is trying to hold on to the presidency. It is a spirit that is trying to keep the governmental seat of governor of California, and it's bringing much harm to the things of God. But there is coming a greater crown, and every crown will bow to the name above every name. That when we understand who our God is, and there is a people who will not bow their knee, God will raise up in our generation, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, not just when we get to heaven, but in the earth realm. This crown, the Bible says, he was astonished. He rose up with haste and spoke unto his counselors. Did we not cast three men into the fire? And he answered, said, Lord, you are right, king. Verse 25 says, and he said, lo, I see four men. Oh, I put three in there. How come I see four? He called his counselors. He called his wise men. He called his soothsayers, his diviners. He called his witches and his warlocks. He called the people around him, because remember, witches and warlocks always cover governmental spheres because the church don't know how to cover it yet. So demons are in there wondering why the nation is doing what it's doing, because the church needs to rise up and go into the White House and prophesy the word of the Lord with power, with victory, with knowledge, with revelation. And the Bible says, how come I see four in there? And look at this word. See, let's read that. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed. So the fire just burned up the chains. Hear me. This fire is going to be so hot, it's going to burn every chain off of your family, off of your children. Oh, I see four men loosed, but they're walking in the midst of the fire. You can walk in fire and not be burned. How do you know? Because Exodus says that, verse 3, that God appeared in a bush. This word bush is tree that is on fire but not consumed. We are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Did you know you're fireproof? You're bulletproof. God says that if I'm with you, and who can can be against you. Did you know that nothing can harm the child of God if they're in the will of God? I said, if they're in the will of God, no deadly thing can harm me. You can lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You can drink any deadly things and it will not harm you. Serpents cannot even kill you. God said, I'm going to keep my beloved. He answered, said, lo, I see four walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. They are not being hurt by the fire. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wait a minute. Hold up. What does Nebuchadnezzar know about Jesus? What does Nebuchadnezzar, how would Nebuchadnezzar know he looks like God's son? Unless your obedience will preach Jesus to pagan kings. Unless your willingness to lay your life down will preach Jesus to pagan kings and pagan gods and pagan lords. They will bow to that name. God showed up and said, and all of a sudden he recognized. Then, verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning furnace. You understand, the mouth is your word. Cloven tongues of fire sat on their tongues. There was a language of fire in the New Testament that you can communicate the mind of God and the sound of the Spirit. And these cloven tongues sat on them. So now fire follows your words. Technology in heaven moves at the very word out of your mouth. Are you hearing me? Jesus. The fourth man burning in the fires. He said, Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Wait a minute. He done switched up already. All of a sudden, he was mad. He hated him. Oh, you servants of God, pray. That was quick, praise God. Wasn't that a quick turnaround? All of a sudden, the king is on your side. All of a sudden, servants of the Most High. All of a sudden, God can do that. He can turn those who felt like your enemy into your ally in one moment, one revelation, and the king can be on your side. One revelation, and the landlord can be on your side. Servants of the Most High, come out of there. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the mist. Verse 27 says, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors gathered together. So everybody who was anybody who had any authority saw what was happening. And this is a change of thought. I want to tell you, I'm going to put in senators. I'm going to put in governors. I'm going to put in prime ministers. I'm going to put in vice presidents. I'm going to put in presidents. I'm going to tell you that God is about to show up in power, and the presidents are going to know who God is. I'm going to say it again by the Holy Ghost. God is going to show up, and the governors and the counselors and the prime ministers and the senators and the heads of state and the people that think they're in charge who are not really in charge, because real power doesn't come from man. Real power comes from God. Real authority comes from God. And these governors and these prime ministers and these senators and these presidents and these secretaries of state and these generals and these kings all saw a greater power than any power they ever knew. And that power was Jehovah. And he's still on the throne today. Ah, shatara. And they saw these men, these counselors, upon whose the bodies of the fire had no power. Are you listening to me? When you walk in the fire of God, the fire won't hurt you. The fire will help you. The fire didn't have power against their bodies. The fire gave them power for their bodies. I said the fire was about helping us, not hurting us. Strengthening the power. There are some people the fire cannot burn. You got to teach them by the Holy. There are some people the oceans cannot drown. There are some people lions cannot devour. Hear me by the Holy Ghost. You got to be a man who knows who your God is, so that you face the lion and God close the mouth of the lion and you teach the lion you can't devour everybody. You got to be a man like Moses who walks through the ocean and say, ocean, there are some people you cannot drown. You got to be a man and woman of God that teaches the fire. Fire, there's some people you cannot burn. They are full of the Holy Ghost. The fire had no power over them, nor was a hair on their head. They didn't even lose a hair on their head. Neither were their coats changed, because they were wearing coats of righteousness, coats of purity. They were walking in integrity. You got to be fire. That's why you're in the fire. That's why he's dealing with you the way he's dealing with you in private, teaching you to love your family, teaching you to deal with your children, teaching you to deal with your attitude, teaching you to get your health and your body in order, because you're going to the nations. You need to get right in your body, get right in your mind. Why? He's not mad at you. He's not trying to be hard on you. He's taking you where he's never taken anybody before, and he's got to get that stuff out of us so God can get the glory when he raises you. Their coats were not changed, nor the smell of smoke was on them. They didn't even smell like smoke. Bless you, Pastor Jessica. I said they didn't. They came out not even smelling like smoke. You ain't gonna smell like smoke. You ever barbecue? You ever been the one cooking the food and you barbecue, you get all that smoke on you, and you come out for that barbecue and you feel like by the Spirit, you've been working and you've been in the Spirit and you've been prophesying, and by the word, I'm gonna tell you, God said you're about to come out and you're not even gonna smell like smoke. I hear the Lord saying you're gonna come out and you're not even gonna smell like fire. You're gonna flow in the Spirit. And by the grace of the Lord, you ain't gonna smell like where you've been through. The smell of smoke means the smell of the past, the smell of the fire, the smell of the tribulation. God is gonna heal that off of you. I said, God is gonna heal. He's gonna wipe your tears away, and he's gonna trade your sorrow for joy. Gonna turn your mourning into dancing. Verse 38 says, "Hear now, the king is talking. Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest power on the face of the earth, says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego." How does he know this stuff? Because he was a man of worship. He was just worshiping the wrong God. Oh, blessed be the God of Meshach, who sent an angel. How did you know, Nebuchadnezzar? Because he was a man of, you can't take that many nations and not know your stuff. He sent an angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. You hear me? Are you listening to me? Do you trust him? I don't know. No, do you trust him? I know the money's funny, but do you trust him? I know the marriage is under attack, but do you trust him? I know you feel a little unsure about the changes. No. Do you trust him? Settle the heart down. Settle the mind down. Do you trust him? See, a man's measure, a woman's worth is found in tribulation. Can you trust God? God loves you, but if you trust him, you'll lean on him and not on yourself. You'll stand to your principle. Oh, you trusted him. See, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking now. And Nebuchadnezzar was the one who was acting a fool just a minute ago. Now he's already changed his mind. He trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Are you listening to me? He changed the king's word. It's not possible to change the king's word, but you're about to do what no one has ever done before. God is gonna use you to change the wicked decree. I said, they are not taking our Bibles from us. They are not taking them. You think the devil's gonna stop with just, I know they don't like this on some of these platforms. You think the devil gonna stop with marriage, stop with drugs, stop with gender? You think the devil is satisfied with just trying to change the nucleus of the family? No, ma'am. It is about training the next generation. And they are trying to culturalize and make normal what is wicked in the eyes of God. No, they want your Bible, sir. They want your churches closed permanently. They want any other religion, but not Jesus. They don't want the truth. No, sir, it's not enough. But the Bible says these men stood and changed the word of the king. This is not doable in man's power, but in the kingdom, there's a higher word. I believe in submission, but you never obey a decree that's against your Bible, ever, ever. No, Romans 13, you never obey a decree that's against the word of God. You can write all the fake laws you want, but if your kingly decree opposes with my biblical stance, I have a right to do civil disobedience. I will not bow to your idol, and I will not stop praising God and worshiping. I'm in Daniel 6 now. Daniel 6 verse 10 says, and Daniel knew the writing that was signed into law. Daniel 6, 10, and Daniel said, I'm gonna pray anyway. There was a writing in another place under another leadership. The wicked counselor said, let's make a law. Let's get Daniel. Let's kill Daniel. Let's get rid of Daniel. And they couldn't find no dirt on the man. Daniel didn't have no wives, hide nowhere. He didn't have no addiction in the corner. Daniel was a man of integrity. He was a man of righteousness. They looked for things to get. They couldn't find none on Dan. So they said, the only way we can get him, let's get him by his God. They knew he would never bow when it came to his God. So they made a plan. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get the king to sign a plan that they cannot pray for 30 days to anyone else but the king. And the king loved Daniel. He loved him. And he didn't realize what he was doing. They tricked him. He made a decree, and now there was a decree you could not pray to anyone else in the earth except to the king for 30 days in the kingdom of this king. Now Daniel knew the writing was signed, and when he went to his house, he opened up his windows. I said, God, how come he didn't just go pray in private, you know, say a little prayer in the corner and whisper it? He said, I needed a witness. I needed somebody to open their windows and be bold and be confident about what truth is. You will never change truth. I said, I believe in Romans 13, but Romans 13 had nothing to do with the name of Jesus. What if they say you can't say the name of Jesus? Are you going to turn in your Bible? What if they say you can't hold on to your Bible? What if they say you can't worship God? No, sir. No, ma'am. No, how. I have a kingdom greater than this. And Daniel knew the writing was signed into law. The Bible says, and he opened up his windows and went toward Jerusalem and kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. He had a prayer life, this man. The Bible says he prayed and gave thanks like he did before. And verse 11 said, and these men opened the windows, opened the doors, and they assembled together and they found him praying. Oh, what a sin. They found him praying. You know you're in a wicked generation when they want to outlaw praying from schools. You know you're in a wicked generation when they want to take the Ten Commandments off of the courthouses. You take prayer from schools and now you put in metal detectors. You want to know why? Wherever you take God out of, it's going to be cursed. I want to tell you, God is not cursing the thing. God loves everybody. But anything you remove God from, destruction comes. Anytime you move the name of Jesus, demons will come in. And you remove God from prayer, you want to take the name Our God or In God We Trust off of money, the economy will collapse, sir. Everything you build, it's all sustained by him. Man can't do this thing. Only God can. You took God out of school in prayer and you put in metal detectors. You took the Ten Commandments off of the wall of the courts and now the courts are in shambles. Destruction is fought. Wherever you try to take God out of, it's destroyed. Not because God did it. It's because this law, what you sow, you will reap. I don't know why we're talking about this, but here is the word. They found him praying. They threw him in jail. Let me finish Daniel 3, verse 26. The Bible says they walked. Actually, we were at 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered him that trusted him and changed the king's word. You're listening to me. I said, are you hearing me? The enemy wants to destroy our culture. The enemy wants to destroy our nation and the nations of the world. Wherever you're watching, he wants to destroy it by corruption, by making legislative laws, because the law or the culture of a land is its legislation. And you say, it doesn't matter. It matters. The devil's trying to change laws. I don't have time to go over Daniel 7:25. It says the enemy wants to tire us. Put it up very quickly. Daniel 7:25. I can't go over it all, but the enemy wants to tire us and get us weary, and he wants to change. The enemy will speak great words against the Most High, and then he will seek to wear out the saints. So the job of the saints is to be watchmen and women on the wall, to pray, to fast, to stand in the spirit and see the enemy afar off. But when the watchmen get tired, when the intercessors get tired, they're not praying. It's hard to even come to church once a week. They're tired. Our priorities are out of whack. The Bible says that he wants to wear us out by attacking our mind. And he wants to wear out the saints of the Most High. So the saints should be high now. We come low spiritually. And when there is no watchman on the wall, no prayer warriors, no intercessors over the city, he will change the times and legislation. He will change laws and he'll make legal what is illegal. He'll legalize drugs. He'll legalize pulling 8-year-old babies out of people's homes in California to mutilate their body. What do you know about your identity at 8 years old? What do you know about yourself? To make a decision to mutilate your body, and you'll make a law in California that they could do that. They could take your child out of your house and mutilate their body if you don't agree with that. That's a demon. I said, that's a demon. It's not a law of inclusion or loving everybody. That's a devil to destroy our children. He wants to change the laws and the times, and we're giving into his hand. So once the laws change, now the church is in persecution. Until times, dividing of times. What's that mean? In order to divide time, you must bring a word out of time into time. You must get the timeless logos for the season, for the hour, and bring what was in time, out of time, into time, and divide time with word. I don't have time to teach it. The only thing that can change what's taking place, a wicked law, is understanding the times and the season. And you divide a time with God's word. You must hear it. You must decree it, and you must stand upon it. Back as we're done, Daniel 3, verse 28. You've changed the word of the king, and you yielded your bodies. Are you listening? They yielded their bodies. They were willing to sacrifice their life. They laid down their will, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own. He understood it. Now he understood this thing. Therefore, I make another decree. Here's the king talking now. That every people and nation and language which speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. And the houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver life. He's never seen this kind of power. Now he makes a decree. If anyone puts their mouth on this God in my kingdom, I'm going to destroy the whole house. I'm going to wipe them out. You see the change there. How did that change come in legislation? How did that change come in decree and honor for Jehovah? Someone had to stand up. Someone had to be bold. Someone had to be confident. Last verse, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province. Now promotion came. No promotion without overcoming. You don't get promotion just because you've been in somewhere a long time. That ain't how it works. You got to overcome to get where you're going. You got to bear fruit worthy of promotion. I don't judge that. You don't judge that. God judges that. Promotion doesn't come from the north and the south. It comes from the Lord. I'm going to pray for you. I want to tell you, this is a moment. Let me go back. I'm going to read this. Matthew 3:11. God is going to baptize with fire. And this baptism of fire is about change. I'm out of time. I'm going to pray for you. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance. There must be a change of mind before God sends fire. He doesn't want to lose people. He wants to gather people. He's a salvager. I'm out of time. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but there's one mightier coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Remember, heavenly fire is heaven's technology. You can travel by fire. Elijah got on a chariot in the spirit, and he went up in a whirlwind. You can see provision. Bible says there was a fire by night and a cloud by day, so God would feed. Remember that the day begins in the evening. If you read Genesis, evening and morning were the first day, Genesis 1. So what does that mean? The day began with fire in the night. That fire fed the day. When God was going to do something in the day, he did it in the night. The fire that happened in the night set up the cloud in the day. So when he was going to send the bread in the morning, the quail, the water, it started in the night. The evening preceded the morning. Fire is provisional. God can send bread, water from rocks, bread from heaven. Bless you, Sister Nadine. God can send you everything you need. Bless you, Sister Teresa, Sister Anna, Brother Steve. Thank you for joining. God has it all for you. Fire is protection. When they were chasing them into the Red Sea, the children of Israel appeared as a wall of fire to keep the Egyptian army from destroying them, until God opened up the Red Sea by fire. Fire, it's transportational, it's glory, it's all that God encompasses. It's his ability, it's fire, but it's technology, heavenly technology. It's higher. Higher than Apple, higher than Google, higher than Android, higher than the best we can come up with. It's God's way he does it. And nothing is impossible with God's fire. I'm out of time. Verse 12 says, here is what's happening now. Here is what's taking place. Whose fan is in his hand. This is The word fanned is tool to separate. It's like a gardening tool whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. The threshing floor is when God brings a ministry, a nation, a generation through the threshing floor. And now the shaking comes. And when he's doing this, he's separating the wheat from the tare. He's separating the wheat. He says, I will thoroughly cleanse my threshing floor. I will gather the wheat into the garner, into the storehouse, but I will consume the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now I said, okay, Lord, what does that mean? If you put chaff in fire, it burns up. I said, okay, Lord, help me understand. He said, son, the real sons and daughter of God cannot be consumed. So there may be chaff in that unquenchable fire, but if there was chaff and there was ever wheat inside of that chaff, he said, I'm gonna cause it to come out. I'm gonna consume the chaff. I wanna tell you, all of us have some chaff we're consuming by the Holy Ghost. But I wanna tell you what's happening now. We are coming to the threshing floor. I'm done. I'm gonna pray for you. David put the ark on a cart. He didn't go back far enough to realize the ark did not belong on a cart. It belonged on the shoulders of the priest. I said it belonged, bless you, Sister Nadine, so good to see you. It belonged on the shoulders. And when the ark got to the threshing floor, it began to wobble. The threshing floor is where God shakes the ground to separate who's really who. God wants everybody, but he's going to test us. Are you going to go forward or are you going to go backwards? He said, I'm going to gather the wheat and I'm going to consume the garner. I'm going to pray for you now. Lord, I pray over those under the sound of my voice. If you're listening and this word bore witness, God, I ask you for miracles in the lives of these, your people. Strengthen them, empower them. Give them courage wherever they need you. God, you are the light of the world. You are the hope of generations. You are mighty and full of power, and there's nobody like you. This is an appointed season. This is an appointed hour. And in the name of Jesus, strengthen these men of God. Strengthen these women of God. Give them courage and boldness not to lay down, not to go back, not to be intimidated, not to go backward, but to go forward. Bless them now and give them courage. As you did Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, as you used Daniel, Hananiah, as you use these men of God of old, use these, your people. Let them be bold and strong. Let them be rooted in you. Let them be a voice for our generation. Let them be mighty in the kingdom of God. I pray it now that you would send help to every hurting heart. You send peace to every broken place. That you would be light in the midst of the darkness. You would be peace in the midst of the storm. That you would protect them and keep them. Now, I send the word to them now. There is no timer. I speak to that cancer. I speak to that set. I speak to a growth. And I'm going to tread carefully. I need you to pray now. I'm going to tread carefully. I see something in someone's mind. It's in the brain. And it's appearing as chronic fatigue, emotional instability, chemical imbalances, constant migraines. It's actually something in the brain. The enemy's trying to get it to grow to make you sick in your mind and sick in your emotions. And he wants, I rebuke aneurysm. I see that. I see like a brain growth in the brain. It's in the brain and it's got to come out. But spiritually, once it is out, it will leave naturally. I need to pray. I see specifically migraines, fatigue, constant sicknesses, and it is, yes, physical, but it's a sign of something spiritual that needs to be constantly healed, delivered, set free by the power of God, and God wants to like pull it off. I see like a brain, like a mind, spiritual, prophetic, powerful, but I see like a seed in the brain, and it's like a growth in the spirit world, but it's also become a natural physical growth. And if they were to give an x-ray, they would see something there and it could create great fear. But hear me, don't you be afraid. Don't you worry. God said what he said. You must believe. I need you to pray now. You must submit yourself, not just by word, but in your heart. I see submission, I see yielding, I see whole, and you're going to be well. I decree what the enemy's planning will not happen if you will obey. There's a condition, you must obey. I don't know who this is for, but I see a brain. I see constant symptoms. God said it's more than it seems, but don't be afraid. You've got to obey and go through the process. God, I pray more time for that life. Whatever they're dealing with, see the potential of what they will be and give them power. But the Lord says time is running out, not because I'm not gracious, not because I'm not wonderful and long-suffering. It's been years you've been dealing with all this mess. The time for appointment is coming, and you got to be ready. So, Lord, I pray over that individual. God, I send the word to them now. I speak directly over heart conditions, heart palpitations. I speak over, I see multiple. I need you to lay your hand, if that's you, and it may not be all of you, but constant attacks in your mind, constant migraines that may not be for everybody, but I just come against it. Lay hands on that head. God, heal those migraines in the name of Jesus. I see if it's you, heart palpitations and inability, the heart is beating irregularly. God, I pray healing in that area of the heart, God, that they would be well, that they would be strong. I see intestinal issues, trouble digesting. I see issues with food, and there's things, you have a very strict diet, and God wants to keep you fasting and praying, but he wants you to be able to eat and not be tormented. I speak to that stomach. I speak to that digestive tract. And in the name of Jesus, I declare healing over that area now. I see women parts, ovaries, and I see areas of womanly wombs. And I speak to that area. I need you to lay hands on it. God, I decree these women are holy and set apart. They are mothers in Zion, and they will serve you, and they will worship you, and they will raise these children to serve you. Some say, well, I'm not having any more children. You may be having some spiritual children. You may be elder, and your intestines. I see your womanly womb is being attacked. Growths and cysts in there, stuff growing. God says it's got to come out in the name of Jesus. For that woman is mighty and holy, and it's a generational issue. I break it by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to be graphic. I see extreme times of the month. Now, this is not to embarrass anybody, but I see times of the month, every month, it's like a demonic attack. It's not just you're having your regular cycle. And some of you may not even have children. I see a demonic attack every cycle. It's a curse, and it's got to be broken. It's a lie somewhere in the generation, and it is not natural. It is not just how it's been since you were young. It is a lie from the devil, and I resist this power by the stripes of Jesus. I declare that torment in their body be freed. That lie in their ear, come off. It's tied to a lie. Something happened when you were little. Something took place in your, I see little girls being, I'm going to pray for the men in a moment, but I see them being broken. I see them being abused. I see them being abandoned. I see also some type of abuse emotionally, even physically and sexually. I come against those lies that broke the cycle of purity and holiness of what marriage and beautiful harmony and intimacy between husband and wife. It's been weird. It's been awkward. It's not been comfortable. God says, I break that power in the name of Jesus, and you are God's daughter, and you're loved, and you're a woman of God, and you're a wife, and you are a mother, and you are healthy internally. I'm praying over them now. God, heal those areas of abuse. Heal those years of trauma that are now infecting us. They are now trying to stop the call of God on these women of God. I pray over these men now. I pray strength in their identity and courage in their inner man. God, keep them and make them well. Let them know they're safe and they're well and they're strong and they are warriors and they are covered, and give them identity to know that who they are. I just break now that spirit of pornography. Porno is the word fornication, and one of the root words is pornea, which deals with sexual bondage in the mind. I need to pray now. These men will be well. They will be pure. And I declare that condemnation and that guilt that keeps them going back and back and back, I break it by the power of the Holy Ghost. These are your men, and they will be integrous, and they will be holy, and they will be righteous for you, and they will train other men how to be free from these bondages of addiction, these addiction to alcohol, these addiction to prescription and non-prescription drugs. I come against it in the name of Jesus. And I declare this generation will be well, and they will be strong, and they will be covered in courage. God, I ask you to cover these, your people now, and I pray it according to your word. Now, lastly, I pray miracles of financial resource. Miracles, it's not just going through hardships. It's not you just been in this financial struggle for months and years. It is a generational battle with poverty. Because you are an entrepreneur, you are a kingdom funder, and you're going to help many people. You're going to give away houses and land. You already know it. God, break this cycle. I just see submission. I don't know, it's maybe not for everybody, but I see there's a submission you need to release. If it's a wife to a husband, if it's a husband to a covering, you need to find it and submit to it. Whatever it is, this is about authority. I see these miracles tied to authority. When you're in authority, you must be under authority. But if you're in authority and not under authority, you move into torment. It's like what happened to Saul. Saul lost the anointing. He was anointed. He stayed anointed, but he lost the right covering. And now Samuel could not guide him. So he was tormented by spirits. So now he was in authority, but no longer on authority. Then the demon came to torment him. And if there's any authority that's not really submitted to their authority, it's tormenting. You're tormented by your leadership role, by your pastoral role, by your entrepreneurial role. You're tormented. I feel the God of heaven. And some of you are very anointed, but you're without covering God. And you're asking, how do I get out of this? When is this thing going to end? When is this financial and sickness and marital attack going to end? God says, you got to submit somewhere. And this is not self-serving. I don't know who it is to, but you've got to really submit from your heart. He said, what good can that do? Make it clear you've got to come under authority. It's like an umbrella. You can do it on your own, but you're not supposed to. You can go your own way. You're not supposed to. God wants to cover you and make you well, make you strong. God wants to give you victory. I pray it now. God, I ask you for the grace of your presence to cover these, your people, even stronger now. Show us where we're to go. Show us what we're to do. Show us how we're to do it. Strengthen these, your sons and daughters, that they may be well, that they may be whole, that they may be strong in their mind, in their spirit, and in their identity. God, bless the work of their hands. Keep them, protect them, and we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, if you receive that, somebody say amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.